I like to come in this pulpit, and my heart and my message is Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ. And even in this, especially in this, my message is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ. There's a passage of Scripture, Isaiah, the 28th chapter. I'll read through here at the 10th verse beginning. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. And truly, this, even line upon line, precept upon precept, and to whom he said, this is the rest, must be the proclamation of the gospel. Must be. The proclamation of the gospel. The simplicity of Christ. And that this is the rest that God has provided for his people. The rest from Satan, the rest from sin, the rest in the storms that come upon this world. This is the rest wherewith he would cause the weary to rest, yet they would not hear. And of course, this was spoken before the destruction of Jerusalem, and they did not hear. They would not hear what God sent to them. And so destruction came. He said, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. And of course, this is spoken to Jerusalem before the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon. But this, and you'll see in a minute, is much more than that. Much more than that. It's a direct prophecy of Christ. Because you said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell. The word hell actually means grave. It's death and the grave. When we think of hell, we think of lake of fire. That's actually not true in the Scripture. Hell is the grave, and the Scripture speaks of a day that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. So we use the word hell in our minds as a picture of lake of fire, but that's not in the Scripture. Hell is the grave. And it's actually seems to be in the Scripture. We know it's the grave, but seems to be the place of the unbelieving, the lost dead, those that have departed this life as they await. So when I say hell, he's speaking of the grave. He says, you say we've made a covenant with death, and with hell we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Now, I'm going to just ask a question, may interact with you this morning. But how many, if someone had asked you even a month ago, even with the knowledge of what was going on in China, this, if America would ever find herself in a panic, would have thought that would have been absurd. In a panic over a virus. Well, we thought that's something you see in a movie. That's something you see because we view ourselves. When I say these things, you understand, I'm proud to be an American. I'll say this. If I was born in Mexico, I'd be proud to be a Mexican. If I was born in Tanzania, I'd be proud to be a, Tanzania. But I'm proud to be an American. That's where I was born, and that's I'm an American citizen. And I'm a proud American. But we oftentimes, pride that can be a natural good thing can be a haughtiness, can be a thing that becomes a blinder that causes that you cannot see things clearly, that you cannot see things as they are. And who would have thought that America would be afraid of such a thing? That our nation, that our government, that our peoples, to the point, and forgive me if this sounds sarcastic because it is, that we would rush to the stores and think toilet paper was our savior. But who would have thought? Now, I will say this, as I said to me, I don't believe that what we're facing is this overflowing scourge that the scripture speaks of. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I could be wrong, but I don't believe that. But I do want to use this opportunity because he spoke of an overflowing scourge that would come, that in the scripture, and we're not going there this morning, we could speak of so many things that the Word of God says will come upon the earth to an extreme that before Christ comes, that a third of all living will perish. And that such will be the magnitude of the scourge, the overflowing scourge that will come upon the earth. And yet, for most of my lifetime, or maybe all of my lifetime, we've looked at the things that happened or are happening in the Middle East. We look at the nations that have all my lifetime have been enemies and at war with Israel and Jerusalem. We look at the things going on in even these countries like Afghanistan or Iraq and Iran. We look at those things. It seems like we're perpetually on the verge of this could be it that happens there. And in a foolish blindness and a feeling like that we've made a covenant with death and the grave, that it would never happen here. And the reason I'm bringing that, and I don't believe, I want to reiterate that the things that we're facing, I don't believe it's that overflowing scourge, but this is the first time in my lifetime that the scoffers have even considered maybe it could happen here. Maybe the things that the scripture said certainly will come could happen here. Have you been awakened to that? Brother Surface touched on something Wednesday night. I'm going to turn over there. We're going to come back to Isaiah, but it's in 2 Peter, the third chapter. And Peter was speaking about the scoffers that were saying, you know, where is the promise of his coming? In the third verse, there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, let me ask you this. Are all things continuing as they were from the beginning of your understanding? Are all things continuing as they were for your life, for your lifespan? Some of you are teenagers. Some of you are young married. Some of you are elderly. Some of you are In your 80s, are all things continuing as they were? But that's what he said. He said they would become scoffers. And they would scoff at the Word of God. And they would scoff at the things that the prophets said would come. And say, where is the promise of His coming? For all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of. That by the Word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. And he said they're willing ignorant. They're closing their minds and their hearts to the fact that it already happened once. It already happened once. But the heavens, the earth, which are now by the same word of God that said this coming of flood, said there's coming a fire. And by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He hadn't forgotten His promise. He hadn't broken His promise. He hadn't forgot what He said was coming. He hadn't changed His mind about what He said is coming. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Have you found out that God is long-suffering? He's long-suffering with individuals. He was long-suffering with me. He was long-suffering. And I would dare say with all each of us, He's been long-suffering. And that meant that He put up with us a long time. He put up with our hardness of heart. He put up with our unbelief. He put up with our way. And He put up with us going our long way. He's long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish. And that's you. You hear my voice this morning. That's you. He's not willing that you should perish. That's why He's long-suffering. That's why you haven't received what you may have deserved. That's not the mercy of God. That's the long-suffering of God. That the times, the thing... And I know that to some of you it seems like I was saved at a young age. I was 21 years of age. To me, I'd wasted my life. I'd wasted my life. But the thing that has never left me for those 36 years, I believe it is, 36 years, is for a period of years that I told God, I don't want You. Leave me alone. Let me go my way. Why He didn't do it. Why He did that is the thing that has stuck with me as I see the unsearchable riches of Christ and I see that there's more and more, but I've never found the answer to that question. Why He didn't just leave me alone and let me go? Because He was long-suffering and not willing that I should perish. And He's not willing that you should perish. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's His will. And I must tell you, many will perish. Many will perish. And there will be those hearing the sound of My voice this morning that will perish. You say you shouldn't say that. No, I should say that. I must say that. In spite of the long-suffering of God, in spite of the forbearance of God, in spite that His desire of these things being afar off or ways off or in the future, is He's not willing that any should perish, though they perish every day. But that all would come to repentance. But, and this is something Brother Surface brought out that just spoke to me all since Wednesday. But the day of the Lord will come. And we must understand that. As I've told you, I don't believe that this thing is it, but I don't know that. But I will say this, but the day of the Lord will come. And when it comes, it will not be turned back by American might. It will not be turned back by Western medicine. It will not be turned back by our great technology and abilities. If anything at least wakes us up to that, this hour ought to wake us up to that. That things can change in a moment. Things can change in an hour. Things can change in a few days. And everything we thought were always were and shall always be are no more. The day of the Lord will come. We're going back to Isaiah 28. Todd and I were just fellowshipping yesterday evening. And I shared something that I've shared with you numerous times. It was actually a conversation with Brother Otis from Louisiana. And he's talking about, this was a couple years back, the signs, the events that were going on, the events in the Middle East, the hurricanes, all the different things. And I've had similar conversation with Brother James, with others. But the signs of the time, but he said, brother, he said, we're running out of time. Look at the signs. Look at the things that are coming upon the earth. Look at that. We're running out of time to preach this gospel, to do what God has given us to do, to gather harvest. And I said, brother, I said, I believe the signs that you're pointing to. I believe the things that we see, the things that the Scripture tells us. I believe that it points to the soon coming of the day of the Lord and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. I said, but if we're wrong about that, I'm still running out of time. He said, what do you mean? If the Lord doesn't come for 1,000 years, if the Lord is merciful and gracious and strengthens me, I may have 30. Does that make sense? And some of you young people, 30 years, that's a long time. It gets shorter. It gets short, and some of you, it maybe hits you more than it hits me, and I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time to do what God has given me to do. Brother Surface, what God has given you to you, what God is running out of time. If the day of the Lord is 100, is 1,000 years away, yet I'm running out of time, and I understand that. And I tell the Lord, give me grace and give me faithfulness. Give me grace and give me faithfulness. Give me faithfulness to do your will. Give me grace and clothe me with your presence and let that be all I cry. But I want to speak to the one that doesn't know the calling of the Lord, that doesn't know the riches of Christ, that doesn't know the goodness of the Lord. You're running out of time. And I'm not telling you because a disease is going to sweep across the land. I'm not telling you because some great tragedy is fixing to happen. I'm telling you because time is marching by and you're running out of time. And the day of the Lord will come. Whether it be with the great judgments that come upon the earth, or it be in a second that you find yourself standing before the God of all creation. There's not a person in this place that ought not sink down into your heart. You're running out of time. Person born into this world is like an hourglass that's set. And from that first breath, they're running out of time. And most of our hourglasses have been set a long time. The day of the Lord will come. Back here, the 14th verse of Isaiah 28, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful people, men that rule this people, which is Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, we're in agreement. We've got things set, so this is not going to happen. You said, I've got a place to hide. You know what the scripture says? It's like a man that ran from a lion and met a bear. And he ran from the bear and what? Ran into his house and leaned up on the wall. Woo! And a viper bit him. If you are looking for any place to hide other than Christ Jesus our Lord, you are that man running from a lion and you're fixing to meet a bear. And if you escape the bear, you're going to meet the viper. Someone says, well, hallelujah, Brother Keith. This is what I came to hear this morning. Because you said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, with the grave. We're in agreement. Okay. You keep your distance, we'll keep our distance. When the overflowing scourge shall pass, it shall not come unto us. We've got a refuge. And this message could be preached in any nation on the face of the earth today, but because it's preached in America, I say, we're Americans. We've got a refuge. We've got a place to hide ourselves. But what did God say? He said, you've made lies your refuge. You've made lies your refuge. You've hid yourself under falsehoods. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. And I tell you, I could go spend the rest of the service preaching from that verse. That is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus the Christ. Jesus Christ, the foundation. God speaks in the midst of all this. Those that made lies their refuge, hid themselves under falsehood, thought they had a covenant with death and an agreement with the grave. He says it's lies, it's deceit. He says, but this is what I'll do. I'll lay a foundation stone. And if you will believe, you will not make haste, or you won't have to run. You won't have to run when the overflowing scourge passes through. And He gives one hiding place. He gives a singular hiding place. It's not in the greatness of a nation. It's not in the greatness of their technology. It's not thinking that we're so far removed. How does something from the other end of the earth so frighten this nation in just a few weeks' time? But He gives a hiding place. He said, those that believe upon Him will not make haste. And He's talking about they won't have to run. They won't have to flee. They won't be in fear. They're not going to be those who covenant with death and hell is swept away, because they don't have a covenant with death and hell. They're in the covenant of Jesus Christ. He says, judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail, He's talking about the storm that flows through, shall sweep away the refuge of lies. I want to tell you, one of the reasons that people are panicking and flooding the markets and the stores right now, because a storm has swept away the refuge of lies. The lie that it couldn't happen here, it couldn't come here, it couldn't be here, it couldn't. And the storm has swept it away. The refuge of lies and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. How many world leaders already have contracted this virus? The Canadian Prime Minister. I know that there's a couple of Eastern European leaders that have contracted the viruses. I know the Vice President, the President of Brazil, the Vice President of Iran. Well, they're the most protected people in the world. He says, the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And He's talking about the waters that come with the storm. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Your agreement with hell, with the grave, shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goes forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. And I will say this, that most of this nation is terrified, not because they've come in contact with anything, not because anything happened, because they've watched the news. And the panic buying and the things like that, it's not because anything has changed around them, but they've watched the news. And just the report, He said, it shall be a vexation even to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on, the covering narrow than he can wrap himself. And He's just talking about nothing works, nothing fits. And I say again to every ear this morning, I'm not telling you that this day is that day, but the day of the Lord will come. And He gives one refuge. Brother Surfish took my text this morning. He does it often. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. I shall not fear. And he begins to speak of the arrow that flieth by day and the pestilence that comes by noonday. I shall not fear, because you've made the Lord your refuge. I want to go to one passage of Scripture, Hebrews the 10th chapter, 19th verse. Brother Surface said something. I was over just praying in the office this morning, and I heard Brother Surface toward the end. He's talking about God's secret place. And I heard him say something like, it'd been good to trust that you've been for months and months gathering in to the secret place, gathering into the presence of God. But if you haven't, you can begin today. If you haven't, if you've been foolish. How many have ever been foolish? I've certainly been foolish. If you've been foolish, if you said that it could never come, things like this could never come to us, and I will reiterate, I believe, this is my belief, that this is going to pass through the land. Yes, that people are going to get sick, most people are going to be okay, and some people, as we've seen, some people are going to die. And that's a horrible thing. But I believe that it won't be too long of a time, that it will be life as normal. And there may be someone here that's the worst thing that could happen to you. Because in your foolishness, you will think that the day of the Lord will not come to you. The apostle exhorts us, says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That boldness is not haughtiness, but it's confidence. Having confidence. You that trust in Christ, you that believe the gospel of Christ, you that know that He shed His blood to cleanse from all unrighteousness, that He hung on that cross to make you free. It's a call to you to enter in. Don't get swept here and there with the affairs of life. Don't get caught up in the storm. And then if the storm and when the storm ceases, then don't get caught up in the illusion. But enter in. Let your existence and your life be in the presence of God. Enter in. Jesus spoke of a day. He says that the Lord would rise up, and He uses the phrase, shut to the door. Close the door. And He said, and many will stand without, saying, let me in. The Lord would say, I called and you wouldn't answer. and this is hard to believe, but he said, but I'll laugh. I'll laugh. So the call, and the call didn't begin today. The call was sounding long before you was born, but it sounded throughout your life. It's a call to Christ, and it's a call to enter in to the holy place. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. With a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It's a little bit ironic. People are buying sanitizer by the pallet. When there's a cleansing provided, unlike anything that humanity has ever come up with. It washes the heart. It washes the soul. It purifies the person. It makes them whole. It's the simple message of the blood of Jesus Christ. Our rejoicing, our confidence, He, our hiding place, He, our hiding place, I don't tell you about Christ being your hiding place. He's such a place of shelter and safety and hiding that you can get up and live. Let's stand this morning and draw near. I invite you to come and worship. There are people that are perpetually drawing near. Perpetually drawing near, perpetually coming to the presence of God. And you see it, and you see it, and you see it, and you see it. But people don't perpetually draw back, because you draw back enough, then you're gone, then you're out. And then you're in a place that there's nothing to draw back from. So draw near. You say, how do it? You come with confidence, rejoicing in the blood of Jesus Christ, shed for you, shed for your redemption. shed to make you whole. And with that confidence, you worship God. Come into His presence. Oh, Jesus. Lord, You're the Savior of all men, of all women. Of those that believe upon You, that trust in You. Here I am, Lord. But I've not come in fear this morning, I've come in trust. Oh Lord, what have come in faith? Lord, You're my rock. You're my refuge. You're my strength. You're my rejoicing. You're my shelter. You're my comforter. But I worship You. Oh, I worship You. Saints, let's worship the Lord. Lift your hands and your voices. Thank Him. Oh, Lord. Lord, Your word says Your glory would be everywhere. It would surround us. That You would keep us. Oh, Jesus. And in whatever hour, Lord, You would work through us. I thank You. Oh, I thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Jesus. Holy Lord. Let's just continue the worship. Is there anyone here that says, I'm tired of being foolish? I'm tired of being foolish. I'm ready for Jesus. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready for You. Come join me. The door is open. Holy Jesus.